Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on beautiful children's Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Creating a genderless marriage institution would have to break down the connection between parenthood and biology.
But as I was growing up, how often did I hear marriage preached about in any substantial way? Not often, and that's probably due to the divorce culture that made us probably quiet about teaching what marriage is and why it matters.
If the Lord could save Peter, who denied his Lord three times, then he can save you. If the Lord can save that one who persecuted the very church of God and Christ himself, consenting to the martyrdom of his saints, then he can save you.
When driving to and from work through the Las Vegas Valley and den of iniquity, I always hit the jackpot by listening to Issues Etc.
I was thinking about this just this morning, how dangerous a world we live in. The threats not only to the United States, those are obvious. We have North Korea rattling sabers and intercontinental ballistic missiles. We have the constant threat of Islam's worst motivations coming out in organizations like the Islamic State, ISIS. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the dangers faced in the world today. It's a dangerous place. It always has been. Part of that formula, of course, is the U.S. military and its broad charter to protect the citizens and the land of the United States. And yet, we have watched over the last decades the U.S. military used for a different purpose, and that is for, well, let's just call it what it is, social experimentation that is very close to the agenda of the sexual revolution. Why is the military the target of these kinds of ideas, these kind of agendas? What makes the military a place for these experiments to be carried out, and what would be the consequences? The latest, of course, is really a totally untested policy on transgenderism in the U.S. military that is at least on, July 1st, set to go into motion if nothing is done. We're going to be talking about that policy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, July the 6th. We'll be talking with Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council about the military's transgender policy. After that, Terry Mattingly joins us for some discussion of media coverage of a British couple's battle to treat their terminally ill infant son. Charlie Gard, you've seen that as a hashtag in social media. We'll tell that story and evaluate the media coverage of that very complicated story. You can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions and your comments or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the U.S. military's transgender policy, Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., author of a recent column titled Trump, Congress Should Halt Transgender Military Policy That Costs Billions. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What is or was set to go into motion in the U.S. military with regard to transgender policy, and what would it mean, not only for the military, but for the U.S. taxpayer?
Well, the Obama administration last year, on July 1st of 2016, had implemented a policy where they would no longer discharge individuals from the military because they were identified as transgender. The second step of the policy that was announced under the Obama administration was to take place this July 1st, 2017, which would be the beginning of allowing or accepting new recruits into the military who identified as transgender. And that second phase of the policy was postponed or put off by 6 months in an announcement almost at the last minute, just late on Friday evening, June 30th, the Defense Department announced that they would put off implementing that phase two of the Obama policy for at least 6 months. But our hope is that they'll reverse the entire policy and return to the previous policy. If not, we will certainly be placing political correctness ahead of military readiness. And the financial cost, we have calculated, could be up to $3.7 billion over a 10-year period.
Now, I got to know two things. First of all, why is the U.S. military routinely used as a place for social experimentation when it comes to these kinds of policies? Why does it seem to be the place where these policies are tested?
Well, I think that the military, I think this is all about cultural transformation. It's not really about trying to accomplish something with the military per se. But the left, the sexual left, if we can call it that, they want to transform society. They've already been successful in the more liberal cultural institutions of our society. Their ideology already prevails and indeed has a stranglehold on institutions like the news media, the entertainment media, and colleges and universities. Now they're trying to infiltrate the more conservative institutions of our society. This is why you see focus on groups like the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts, and also the military, in order to make this their ideology virtually universal.
So is it a case of unintended consequences? In other words, when the Obama administration decided several years ago that this should be the new policy pursued in the U.S. military, not to discharge and then to cancel active discharges and things like that, did they anticipate the really staggering just monetary costs that would be associated with this kind of change?
Well, I think that they did not take the time to really calculate that. Now, there have been some private organizations that have tried to do calculations and have given very much lowball estimates, but we feel that some of the assumptions that they made were wildly unrealistic, which is why we decided to do our own estimate. But this was the problem with the Obama administration approach. They never actually undertook an objective study of whether this was a good idea or not. There was a political decision made that this is going to happen, and the only thing that the military was asked to do was figure out procedures for implementing it. They were never asked whether it was a good idea. So I hope in these next 6 months they will do what should have been done in the first place and conduct an honest study of whether this is a good idea and whether it serves the needs of the military rather than just a political agenda.
What kind of numbers in terms of U.S. military personnel are we talking about in terms of people who might be affected by a change in the transgender policy?
Well, in the paper that we produced, I relied on a source, a pro-LGBT think tank called the Williams Institute, which estimated that there were perhaps 8,800 transgender service members already serving in the military, 7,300 biological males who want to be female, and 1,500 biological females who want to be male. Now, you know, it's possible that the real number could be different. Nobody knows, I think, the real number. So we're talking about somewhere in the range of 8,000 to 10,000 individuals of those currently serving in the military.
So how does 8,000 to 10,000 individuals, which in comparison to the size of the U.S. military is a rather small percentage, how does that then combine to render what you mentioned before, what, of $3.8 billion in potential costs?
Right. So not all of those will seek the medical procedures involved in gender transition, but we believe that a significant percentage would seek what's called gender reassignment surgery to alter the actual appearance of their body to make it look more like the opposite sex, as well as hormone therapy using cross-gender hormones to try to mitigate some of the characteristics, the sex-related characteristics of their biological sex. And those surgeries in particular are quite expensive. Using data that's posted online from a place called the Philadelphia Center for Transgender Surgery, we estimated that a comprehensive package of male-to-female surgical procedures could cost about $110,000 per person, and for the female-to-male procedures would cost almost $90,000 per person. So multiplying that by these 6,000 or 7,000 that we estimated would pursue this surgery, we came up with an estimate of over $600 million. I'm trying to look for the exact number. Well, actually, about almost $750 million just for the surgical procedures alone. And that's not counting the hormone treatment or the lost time that would be involved in these treatments as well.
And we are talking about major surgeries that would, in terms of military effectiveness, take people out of commission for, as you just mentioned, significant periods, if not permanently, out of deployment kind of situations.
Well, that's right. The even the RAND Corporation, which produced one of these studies where they came up with kind of a lowball estimate of the cost, they admitted that these surgeries could result in lost duty time of 110 to 130 days. So we're talking 3-4 months, maybe almost 5 months for some of these surgical procedures where they would not be able to be deployed during that period of time. However, people who undergo this type of medical transition have to take hormones on an ongoing basis, permanently, basically for the rest of their lives. And it's important to understand the reason why one of the key reasons why we did not allow transgender people to serve in the military until last year is because of this deployability issue, because to be considered medically fit for military service, you are supposed to be capable of deployment anywhere in the world at any time, essentially. And anyone who has a condition which prevents that would not be eligible. And that includes people who have a condition where they require specialized medical care that may not be available everywhere in the world. And that is certainly the case with people who have undergone gender reassignment surgery and who are undergoing continuing hormone therapy. They require specialized medical care that simply may not be available everywhere in the world. And therefore, it can be argued that they would be permanently non-deployable for the remainder of their military career.
That really, in a lot of ways, bypasses the whole argument that is often made with respect to these things like don't ask, don't tell, and this transgender policy that usually focuses on the unit, the smallest unit, and esprit de corps. We're really talking here about military personnel who could not do their jobs, period.
Well, that's right. They could not do, now there may be some jobs that they can do, but they cannot do the jobs for which they have been trained in many cases. And so it's really not a question of discrimination. The left would like to portray this as sort of irrational discrimination against people just because of their gender identity. It's really not a question of discrimination at all, unless you consider the military to be guilty of discriminating against everyone who's medically unfit for service. So, I mean, we do have other concerns about this transgender policy, about the impact on good order, morale, and discipline. We have concern about the privacy issues with showers and locker rooms and housing facilities and so forth, just like in the civilian context. But this issue of medical deployability is something that is unique to the military, and it's something I just don't think there's any way the transgender activists can get around.
You have, as just kind of by way of comparison in terms of the magnitude of the financial costs here, made some comparisons on what $3.8 billion could buy the U.S. military. What are some examples of that?
Right. Well, so we looked at the cost of different systems, different weapon systems and so forth. For example, one Aegis destroyer, I believe it is, from the Navy could be paid for with this $3.7 billion that we estimate as a 10-year cost. I think it was, I don't have those numbers right in front of me at the moment, but there were, it was over 100 Chinook helicopters, I believe, a certain number of many dozens of F-35 fighters, and 3,700 Patriot missiles, which are certain type of missiles, which cost about $1 million apiece. So this makes clear what the opportunity cost would be of spending this money on transgender surgeries instead of on crucial weapon systems.
I guess finally, then, what should our military and its civilian leadership be focusing on rather than on attempting social experimentation with our U.S. military personnel?
We should be 100% focused on making our military the finest fighting force in the world. Our military has one and only one purpose, and that is to fight and win America's wars. And anytime they are distracted by a social agenda that is unrelated to fighting and winning America's wars, they are really undermining the very purpose for which the armed forces exist.
Peter Sprigg is a senior fellow for policy studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., and author of a recent column titled "Trump Congress Should Halt Transgender Military Policy That Costs Billions." Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to be spending some time with our regular guest, Terry Mattingly, talking about media coverage of a British couple's battle to treat their terminally ill infant son. You've seen the hashtag Save Charlie. It's Charlie Garth, this infant who is terminally ill. His parents seek treatment for him. Either they're in England or in Italy or even in the United States. The story is being told in all of the major news outlets. Is it being told well enough? Terry Mattingly will answer that question after the break.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has got you covered. Check out the June-July issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer, $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.